Mrs. Bischoff, I at this time don't have anyone registered for public participation.
Okay, thank you.
And there are, before we get started, we have 20 total participants. So that would be one, two. You have 8 visitors.
Okay,
Mrs. Malhoy, we're all set to go.
All right, thanks everybody. We can call this meeting to order and we will start with the Pledge of Allegiance if we'll all rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation,
under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, thanks. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yes.
All right, so we'll start with our roll call. Christine Bischoff?
Here.
Dave Dixon?
Here.
Shane Hillard?
Here.
Mike Hyatt?
Here.
Christy Mock?
Here.
Janelle Young?
Here.
Let the minute show there are 7 present. We have no public participation tonight. Did anybody have any correspondence we need to address?
None.
Okay, I do not. If anybody has anything they need removed from the consent agenda, we need to let me know that now. Otherwise, I'm looking for a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
I'll make a motion.
Was that Shane?
Yeah, can you state your
Shane.
Name?
Shane.
Okay.
Second.
Who seconded? I'm sorry.
Christy.
All right. So I have a motion by Shane, seconded by Christy. We are doing a roll call vote on every motion tonight. So I will go ahead. Dave?
Yes.
Christine?
Yes.
Christy?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Shane?
Yes.
Janelle?
Yes.
And I am yes too. Let the minute show. It was approved 7 yes. So we'll go on to our administrative reports tonight, and we'll start with Michelle Stritt and our business report.
So in the packet, you have seen the property tax collection reports. Everything that's on there is final taxes collected so far, so any balances due would come in the delinquent in the beginning of June. No huge surprises. It looks pretty typical. A lot of this, or the collections actually ended before all this madness went into effect. So I think everybody was still in tune with paying their taxes pretty much on time. The only other two things I have in the packet are the food service reports for January and February. So if you got a chance to look through those, it's just our regular monthly reports there.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions? All right. Thank you for that. Our elementary school report.
Hi, everybody. I'm going to just briefly talk about our plan as we move forward.
Michelle?
Yeah,
sorry. We're going to, no, that's okay. We're going to do that as part of the continuity of learning plan. Yep. So just outside of the plan, do you have any elementary announcements?
We're working hard to figure this out, and I've been in contact with my teachers daily, weekly. Parents, kids, trying to support them. Not really, just focusing on trying to move forward with what we are planning for the kids and their education for the remainder of the school year. Just trying to keep my head above water, I guess. Yeah. Okay. I got nothing really. Just that.
You know, you've got a lot. That's all right. Thank you. Mrs. Yep. Tuller.
Hi. First and foremost, I know that all of you have shared this in some way, shape, or form, whether it be information through Val or cards to staff or whatnot, but the team that works together, including teachers, but definitely Val, Michelle, Charlie, and the rest of the administrators, huge kudos. We've been challenged beyond what we've ever expected ever in this position. And, you know, we're a team, but we're working as islands, separate islands right now. And it's something that's so foreign to us. So I just wanted a shout out, a special shout out to Val for everything that she's been doing to keep us all focused and in line and trying to draw everything together, as well as Michelle and Charlie for all that amazing bond work and budget adjustment stuff that's still continuing and has to happen. So thank you to you guys. I really appreciate it. I just wanted to update you. I'm not going to echo what Michelle said because we know that, but I want to let you know that the music boosters at along with Mr. Schreiber and Mr. Welling have reached out to all of the families as well as posted information about those May trips that are canceled at this time and the reimbursement or refund policy based on the travel agency. So they're hoping for nearly 100%. We can't guarantee that. But they're working on the very best that they can with that, as well as some of those sales we talked about the other day. The music boosters have set up a, for lack of a better word, a deployment of their popcorn sales at Whiteford Wesleyan Church, and they're just making things happen to keep everybody safe while continuing on with some things. The other thing that we haven't shared with the students yet, and we will, is we put all of our student activities on postponement, and we're excited to know that we have a future prom date into the summer. So we're finalizing those details, and it's something we're excited to be able to share with kids as soon as we have those final details, but we have something that's going to be available to them to at least celebrate with that memory. So like Michelle said, there hasn't been much but this going on, so I appreciate all of you and your support for all of us.
Oh, thank you. We are so grateful for our leadership team and for our staff all the way through. We are just so grateful. It's unprecedented times here. So I appreciate that.
I'm so sorry. One second. Jeremy Simmons was in and he wanted me to share, and it wasn't public participation, but he wanted to share with the board to let you all know how great and ahead of the curve the whole district has been with administration. Staff feels that too, and we've received so many compliments from staff and parents. So he wanted to make sure that that was acknowledged by a staff member of how proactive this district has been. So on behalf
of that was nice of them.
Very cool.
Yeah, thank you.
That's good.
Thank you, Jeremy. That was very kind of you. Hi, everybody. Happy to finally be communicating with the board and see your faces and everything. It's nice to be back together again. I feel as administrators that are on right now, we're like Zoom experts. We're Zooming all the time. So, and I think Charlie has joined us too. So Charlie is now on the call somewhere. At least I let him in from the, oh, there he is with the Whiteford background. Let him in from the waiting room. So my superintendent's report, first thing on it was the MHSAA classification. We've been notified that we are Class C for athletic participation for next year based upon our enrollment at 237 students at the high school. The cutoff for Class C is 182. So, and that's not a change from last year. That is the same, correct, Jay? I think I might have muted Jason, but
the cutoff's a different level, but we are still Class C. Everything as far as where we're located is the same.
Okay, thank you. Can you give me the accurate cutoff so I have it correct for the minutes?
I think you have it correct in this year's minutes. Last year, I believe it was 188. Didn't you just say 182?
I said 182. Yeah.
Yeah. Last year, the cutoff was 188.
But for this year, it's 182, right? Okay. Yeah. Sorry, then I was confused about what was inaccurate then.
I thought you said the cutoff was the same as last year.
Oh, no, the Class C is the same as last year. Yeah. Okay. All right, thank you. The Monroe County ISD budget hearing, actually just got off the phone with Mr. McNew about this. They are not holding even a virtual budget meeting this year, as far as my understanding. They're going to send out a link that the Board of Education can watch. And they're gonna record their budget presentation, and then everybody can just watch it on their own time. And then if you have any questions about it, you can submit those questions to me. I will get you answers the resolution to approve the ISD agenda will be on the May board meeting. So as soon as I get that link to that, I will send that to you. Is there any questions about that?
Mm-mm.
Okay. All right. And then Mr. Mensing, when I'm done with my Supes report, I'll have you jump in with the athletics report, okay? Thank you. The MSB school safety grant that we received to do the doors and windows, we had to halt that due to the latest executive order. So that is halted right now. We did have the contractor contact the Bureau of Construction Codes to see if by chance that they would be considered essential, considering it's a safety project. And we received word today, right, Charlie? That was the email we got earlier that the Bureau, they said no. So correct. We're going to continue with halting that project, and we'll hope to get it started as soon as that executive order is lifted. As far as the grant funds, Michelle Strict has been staying on top of that for us. And because those funds needed to be expended by a certain date, obviously she's helping work with the Michigan State Police, who's the people that gave us that grant, to make sure that they're extending the timeline for us to expend since it's completely out of our control. So I don't think you have any update on that, do you, Michelle?
No, he just indicated that they were seeking approval to get it extended and was sure that was going to happen, and he would let us know.
All state testing has been suspended per the governor's order, so there will not be any MSTEP testing, SAT testing not happening in the spring. We have been notified, though, that the state is going to allow us to offer a fall testing window for current juniors, so that our current juniors still have a opportunity to take the SAT. Does that extend to PSAT too, Jay? Have you gotten any further information on that?
There hasn't been official communication. The last communication I received said that there was hope that the PSAT could be included. The big question is whether we're going to be paying for it or not, or if it will be paid for by the state at this point.
Yep. Okay. And then the continuity of learning plan. So as you know, the last executive order that was put out with regard to the COL plan did shut us down, really paused face-to-face instruction for the remainder of the school year, and charged school districts with developing what the state is calling a continuity of learning plan, whereby districts are tasked with developing a plan to continue learning for kids throughout the remainder of the school year, a remote learning plan. So it didn't necessarily have to be technology or virtual learning. It just needed to be remote learning from home. So the team has been working every day since that came out. And part of the plan approval process is it gets submitted to the ISD for approval, and then we can implement it. Our target date for implementation is April 20th. We're hoping to use this week as the week to present the brief overview to the board, get your input, get materials out to students and families, and allow teachers access to the building to get what they need. And then we hope to actually start the instructional part of the plan with kids on Monday. So what I'd like to do is share the parts of the plan. Because there's a section in the plan that where we have to seek board input. So this would be the opportunity for the board to see the different components of the plan. And just so everyone knows, the board is seeing it for the first time. It's literally hot off the presses within the last couple of hours. So feel free to ask any questions you have. This is an opportunity for input and discussion, and we're more than happy to adjust the plan based on any comments that we receive from the board. So I will go ahead and do my best to share my screen, and we will get started here. Can everybody see a document that starts off continuity of learning and COVID-19 response plan? Does everybody see that?
Yeah.
Yes. Beautiful. Okay. Now, Michelle Shepherd, you are on.
Okay.
Let you get started.
Hang on a second. For us, we are going to continue what we had started after March 13th. We're going to have a combination of the instructional packets that the teachers put together per grade level and the virtual learning activities that they used in combination using Schoology and some other links that they provided. Our focus, especially with the real littles, was math. Is going to be math and ELA, supported by additional social studies and science activities that are integrated into the ELA and math as well. They want to be able to go on virtual field trips, have guest speakers join, conferencing with Zoom, group discussions and updates. A lot of the teachers have already been trying to do some of that stuff. So when we hit the ground running next week, they'll be able to already implement that. Specials teachers are offering some enrichment activities and extension activities. The teachers will take what is given to them and either put it in their packet. Some, I know for Spanish, she's providing some hard copies. And then they will have online enrichment things that the teachers will push out to their kids. A lot of our activities will be on Schoology. Everything will be through Schoology. In fact, the communication with parents, they're also going to have their Zoom meetings, phone calls, emails, continuing what they're working on. Teachers contact me if they have trouble connecting with the student or family. I've been making phone calls, and of course, Officer Bomia has been helping us out. And then the plan is for this week for the teachers to get in and put those packets together, and we have a drive-through distribution of materials scheduled for Friday, where we have time frames for grade levels to come through, and I will have a handful of teachers, of course, helping me and using our social distancing, and I called it our drive-through click list for education materials. We'll place it right into the vehicles for the cars for the family. So that's
in the trunks, right, Michelle?
The trunks or yeah, the hatch or whatever, and we'll have teachers stationed at different parts. I talked with Charlie about getting my playground walkies out and being able to communicate, because Friday looks like snow now. So we might have all the material set up in the cafeteria and have like a runner go in and get what is needed and come out. So yeah, that's what we're planning on. So.
We'll take, if we can get input by section, I think that would probably be the best here. Does anybody have any questions or input to give to Mrs. Shepherd about the elementary plan?
The only question I have is, and this is more specifically for elementary, because they certainly need a little more instruction than the high school does, is will this be like a semi-structured thing?
So the plan is the teachers have made copies for themselves, like in a binder of everything they're sending home. And during those Zoom meetings and those scheduled conference times, they will ask the kids to be on the same page they are and either share it with them, do some instruction through that. We're going to do the best we can. And the teachers have thought through many processes about what that might look like. So they will have the same materials at home. They've been well marked, you know, whatever week it is, do this on this day, this day, this day. You know, try to support the parents in that way. And when they get on their Zoom meetings, they can hopefully show and share and try to give instruction that way. We're also following, you know, the instructional time guidelines, you know, through the education plan. But the plan is definitely to move the learning forward and try to have whatever materials that they've handed out the kids, the teachers would have them and either be able to share through Zoom. And the upper elementary teachers have document cameras that they can attach right to their computers so they can share, just like Mrs. Orr is showing right now, or share a screen and show a document that way. So the plan is to progress the learning forward. And with the littles, they're just going to have the materials in hand themselves when they're doing the conferencing.
Yes. Well, please extend to, and this goes for Kelly as well, the teachers, that we just certainly appreciate their flexibility. in doing all of this.
They're working hard at it and really trying to figure out the best way to progress monitor and move their learning forward. You know, I have some really good teachers that are writing me emails really, really long saying, can I do this? Can I do this? I'm saying, of course you can. It's great, great, great stuff. Great stuff.
I do want to say, as a mother of an elementary student, I'm really glad to hear that it's going to be a little bit more scheduled.
Planned, yeah.
I think that they did an amazing job, and I am not saying a word about the packets that we got in the beginning. I think that that was wonderful. As a university instructor, saw a lot more on the university side that wasn't as well prepared as the instructors that we had from Whiteford. So I think they did an amazing job, but it was very difficult for me to come up with the separations on what to do every day. So hearing that, you know, they're going to say Monday, do page 3 and 4, mm-hmm. and that makes me feel a lot better. So
yeah, that's the plan, to have the weeks kind of separated out so that parents can have a little bit more scheduling in their day, in their week. So yeah,
One of the things that I am very lucky for is that I am home with my kids, but there are parents who aren't, who might not have the 8 hours. And so, again, just from the university instructor side, while I'm putting in deadlines for these things, I'm also very aware that extensions need to be made, and some kids might not be doing everything on Monday on Monday.
Yes. And that's a consideration for sure.
Yeah.
And I can actually speak to that a little bit, Christy. We've had lots of conversations. Just so the board's aware, the staff already met in their individual professional learning community meetings last week, and they developed their plan as to what this was going to look like, because they needed to be able to have the autonomy to do that, because what happens with kindergartners needs to be very different than what happens with fifth graders, as and even science, as you know, different than math. But the overarching theme of all of those conversations of what needs to remain the same, no matter grade level or content area, is the ability to build in flexibility for families that are in significantly different situations and facing different barriers. So while what Mrs. Shepherd is saying is absolutely what they're going to do in terms of putting together plan and schedules for kids to be able to follow and families to be able to follow, there's nothing hard and fast in terms of deadlines.
Good.
So and we're really taking the approach of teacher student family interaction and allowing the teachers to have a lot of autonomy over working individually with families to make things work for them. So okay, for you who need something, you know, structured and scheduled on Monday, we might have a child at grandma's house all day on Monday and no way for that child to be able to access the content, and maybe mom and dad have set something aside on Thursday. One of the other things that is going to be part of the plan is that we've learned a lot over this scenario too. And one of the first things we tried to do when we put out those packets was give parents lots of things to do with their kids to keep them engaged. And some of the things that we've learned along the way is that there actually is best practice in terms of the amount of time children should be doing remote learning. And we're going to be communicating that to families when we put out our plan. So for instance, help me with this, Michelle, but kindergarten and first grade, the recommended amount of time that they should be working on academic work with their teacher is what, 60 minutes daily?
It's 45 for
45
them.
45 minutes daily. So it's significantly less than what we, you know, we were giving probably 5 hours worth of work a day to do when we first put it out there. And so now, I think for like my Brady, for example, I think he's at an hour a day I was, as a mom, I was relieved heavily when I saw that best practice was that I should be setting aside an hour with him a day to make up, you know, to do that work, as opposed to me as a mom thinking I needed to replicate 6.5 hours of work. And these are things that we've learned because we've never had this happen before. And we're going to really do a good job of communicating that to families, just so everybody can take a breath and say, okay, what's really important here? And what do we really need to do? And I think that's going to make a huge difference for our families too. That plus the built-in flexibility will be, I think, big too. To where, like, I know I'm working a lot, so is Brady going to get an hour every day? No, but on Wednesdays, I might be able to get 2 hours built into the day to make up for an hour on another day that I wasn't able to sit down and do things with him. And these are the things that I know were definitely part of the conversations with staff, part of the conversations with our leadership team, and have been built into the plan as well. And I'm proud of these guys and proud of the approach to family that everything we do at Whiteford has. Everything's about the family. Any other questions for Michelle about the elementary plan? Mm-mm. Okay, Cal, or Mrs. Tuller, you want to go ahead and get started on the middle school, high school?
Yes, was discussed just now. There's a lot of flexibility within our plan as well. The virtual learning activities at the middle school and high school will be posted with the flexibility of that being during the whole week. But the rule of thumb and the guidance that we have for our teachers is a middle school student should not be engaged in more than per course per day. So your English teacher, a book talk, should not be any more than 30 minutes for English, including that mini Zoom lesson. At the high school level, it's 45 minutes of instructional engaged time per course per day, but that doesn't have to happen daily. The other thing that we would like our students to do, we will be focusing on our 4 core content areas, and any student that is enrolled in Spanish will also have that available for credit-bearing purposes. So they'll have 4 courses that they'll totally focus on, and then Spanish if they're already enrolled. And then they will also have the opportunity to continue to earn seminar credit, because our teachers will continue to contact them and see how they're progressing with that work. The elective department and teachers have made a collective commitment to post 3 activities per week as enrichment for students. These are not required activities. They're enrichment activities only that should help the students continue in a career pathway if they'd like, or also maybe give them a little bit of reprieve or respite. It might be something they enjoy, and, you know, band or music or art. So they've made a commitment to post 3 activities. I did not post this, and this is extremely important, and I'm sorry that it's not in there. So I'm hoping you listen very carefully as we discuss grading. Can everybody hear me? I know my internet going in and out a little bit. We okay?
Yeah.
I'll add on anything that doesn't come through because of your connection, Kel.
So for the grading, let's talk credits for high school. The way that we're going to grade in this 4th marking period, this entire time that we've been away from school, will be based on a pass incomplete model. We've adopted that at a county level. We think it's the fairest way to take everything into consideration. So looking at how the students engage in their work, they will either receive a pass or an incomplete for the 4th quarter. That 4th quarter grade, as it always does, will combine with our previous marking period, the 3rd marking period, which ended our last day of school. So if a student, let's give you an example, if a student was getting a B in marking period 3, and they fell off the radar and decided not to engage in work at all in marking period 4 remotely, they would receive an incomplete by their teacher because there wasn't enough information to make a determination if that student really should be awarded credit. So what we've decided, and we're in the infancy of this, is we are going to give that student some academic support time that will occur during the summer. And that may take different shapes or forms. It may be more of a tutorial, it may be credit recovery, it may be taking the test to see if they know the information. Again, lots of flexibility as we learn this plan. Elective credits are what are going to be earned by what the student earned third quarter. We're not going to put any more on their plate. So whatever they receive during their third quarter will be what they will receive in their semester and earn that credit. No grade point averages will be impacted the second semester because of what we're going through. It'll be pass or incomplete, credit or no credit, with support to continue to earn that credit. And there will be lots of plans, as you can see with the bullet point there. If students were already in jeopardy of not passing or being unsuccessful, they will be working with Mr. Mensing, Mr. Groach, and myself and their teachers to set up success plans to work on trying to ensure their completion. That goes for seniors as well. We know which students were in jeopardy, and we've been working diligently with all of their teachers. We're happy to know that that number is very small right now, so we'll continue to reach out. Does anybody have questions on grading? Because that's a critical piece before I move on.
You had mentioned that for the elective classes that they would just be getting whatever they got. What if someone didn't do well in an elective in the third quarter and they would have brought it up in the fourth quarter? So they're kind of getting penalized a little bit. Is there any way that a student can come to you and work through that?
Teachers are reaching out right now. In fact, I had the art teacher develop a plan and run it by me that she'd like the student to work on for third marking so that they can earn that credit as well. Absolutely. Okay. Yep. Every teacher is being flexible, and they know that plan as well. So thank you. Good question.
Let me just make one correction that Mrs. Tuller wasn't aware of. She had stated that the pass incomplete model was adopted by the county. At this point, it's not fully adopted by the county because there's some information that we're still waiting to receive from the NCAA clearinghouse. Okay. Unfortunately, they've been very, very slow to put out any guidance. And we don't want to do anything that's going to hurt our kids in years to come. And so we are pretty sure that the pass incomplete model is going to be okay. But we need to make sure that the clearinghouse is not going to penalize a child who receives a pass on their report card and it doesn't reflect their GPA. I can tell you the no impact on the GPA decision was a county decision, and that is correct. We wanted to make sure that as a county, that districts did not have their kids at an advantage or a disadvantage based on the school district's decision. So all because our kids all compete for the same local scholarships. And so we decided as a county group of superintendents that whatever grading model is used for this second semester, it would not impact grade point averages. So I think that's an important distinction as well.
Mm-hmm. And at the middle school level, it will be a pass incomplete, obviously with the exception of our Spanish courses right now. Students will still receive that academic support as I explained a little bit that we're developing and we're still in the works for summer for the support. Our teachers are looking at being so flexible that it's the minimal number that they can honestly give of the essentials they need to know, with the understanding that students are given more and ample opportunities to redo, to review, and have those chances to have somebody teach or have mini lessons. So there's a commitment by all staff to do that.
And Val,
go ahead.
With the clearinghouse, is that taking into consideration the student's GPA? Because like when you're applying to college or for scholarships, they're trying to make sure that this isn't gonna impact those students negatively.
So it's Jake, can you hop on and just, it's about athletic scholarships, it's about the ability to be able to play.
Division one and division two has three major factors that determines immediate eligibility at the NCAA level. Those are core GPA, core credits earned, and SAT score. The concern is that their general policy states that if you have a pass-fail, you earn the awarded grade that is the lowest possible grade that you would pass. So their general practice is if a district gave a pass for a algebra course, for example, when they calculate core GPA, that calculates as a 60 or D minus, and not necessarily what that school got. They have a task force and they're supposed to make a final review. They have come out and said that their plan will not negatively impact anybody, but they haven't told us that officially and what it is.
Okay. And then Val, are they looking at that past athletics at all? Is there any concern that, you know, if Ohio doesn't close for the rest of the semester, that those kids are going to be advantaged because they actually have a GPA, whereas our kids have a pass?
No, we don't have any information on out-of-state schools, but I can tell you that all the information coming out of post-secondary institutions in the state of Michigan is that they are not going to hold kids. They're not going to be penalized for having a pass incomplete on their transcripts.
Okay, and they are talking about it, so they're aware.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
Okay.
Lots of communication.
All of that will kind of come out.
Yep. Okay. And honestly, post-secondary institutions have been really good about getting information out. It's literally the NCAA is the last to drop. They're the last people to put out any kind of anything, and we're all pretty frustrated that we haven't heard anything from them. They just keep telling us it'll come out. Jason made a call the other day directly to them, and they told him, look for something in writing in 1 to 2 weeks. They verbally told you it wasn't going to penalize kids, right, Jay? So they verbally told them it was going to be okay, but we can't get anything in writing right now, and they told them it'll be another 1 to 2 weeks.
3 weeks ago, I was on a call with the MHSA and the NCAA, and they stated in that call that that rule would be amended for this season of time. But they have not made an official ruling on that yet. And they said in this call that this would likely happen as well, but they wouldn't give it to me in writing.
Okay.
Thank you.
Teachers will continue to contact and support students through possible weekly Zoom meetings, phone calls, and emails. If they have not seen any work from a student, nor have they made any kind of communication or contact with that student, they will reach out to Mr. Groach and myself, and if we need to, like we have already since the closure, we'll send Deputy Bomey out for a well visit, or Mr. Groach will be acting in the capacity almost like that attendance officer like he was before, just to follow up with parents and to inquire about what the barriers may be if we need to get involved and support. Weekly class meetings have been scheduled by Mr. Mensing, supported by Mr. Groach, and I will attend as well for all 7th through 12th grade students individually by class. So starting next week, all grade levels will have, we figured it'll be about a half an hour meeting. Started with the seniors over a week ago, almost 2 weeks now. They'll have one this week, and then those will continue for all grade levels 7th through 12th. Students who are recovering credits or off pace, as I mentioned, they will be working with counseling staff. And the district continues to work with our direct college dual enrollment and our career tech education to ensure students are progressing with that. And then any kind of materials, which is very, very minimal for 7th through 12th grade, but any kind of hard materials that need to be picked up will be part of the schedule on Friday as well. Michelle has been working with 6th grade, so they've been a K-6 model, but we have a few novels in the English department after reviewing all of the plans. Teachers had to be cognizant of what parents and students had access to, so when they turned in what standards they were going to teach for the remainder of the year, they needed to share with me what resources students may need, and primarily that's been access to the technology other than a few novels. So we won't be allowing students to come in the building. We will definitely have the drop-off system as well. Thank you.
Questions for Ms. Toller?
No.
I just wanted to reiterate the class meetings. I just want to compliment Mr. Groach, Mrs. Tuller, and Mr. Mensing for doing those. Those are like all the seventh grade kids are going to meet together. All the eighth grade kids are going to meet together. They're going to do those weekly. And I just think about the power of keeping those classes together and the connection of that. And it's such a Whiteford thing to do. And it just makes me really, really proud that we're continuing those things that make us special. You know, large school districts, unfortunately, can't possibly do things like that. And the fact that we're able to, I'm thankful to those guys for, you know, doing that and knowing it's important and continuing to provide those opportunities to the kids. It's a lot of work. That's 7 Zoom meetings every single week. It's a huge undertaking, but it's so important, and I'm just really proud of them for doing that. So thank you guys. Mrs. Strick, do you want to talk? Mr. Butts and Mr. Strick, or Ms. Strick, can't get my words out. Do you guys want to talk about continuation of meal delivery and pickup?
Sure. We pretty much started delivering meals the very first week of the closure. And in the beginning, we were delivering 2 to 3 times a week. But as we progressed, we've kind of cut that back, and now it'll just be once a week. So in the beginning, we were kind of putting together individual meals by day. And if we were delivering 3 meals worth, and each student got 3 bags and so on, now it'll be more of a compilation of food that will take them through 5 to 7 days worth of meals for them. It's important to remember that we're not just delivering to free and reduced students, but it's any student age birth to 18 who lives within Whiteford School District is eligible to receive the meals. So it's not just our free and reduced, it's all students. We also deliver, like I said, being that it's birth to age 18, and some of the households, if they have a toddler or so on, they could also request a meal for them. So we have several families that we're delivering meals that way as well. It's worked out really well having the bus drivers do it, and then aides and administrators are helping out with the delivery. And then we also have a time for meal pickup for those that aren't home during the delivery period. So Charlie, do you want to add anything about the routes that you put together?
I'll add a little bit. Like Michelle said, it is going well, and I think we got it dialed in pretty good, but we add to it daily. If anybody needs to add or subtract, it's we have a process down which we can do so. Just to give you guys a number to how many meals we're actually delivering this Wednesday, we'll be delivering roughly 910 meals. And that's a 7-day period for 130 kids roughly. So, it's a pretty big undertaking for us. It's, hopefully fingers crossed, everything works out well and keeps out working well for the kids.
And also thanks to Nutrition Group for their staff continuing to come in and put the actual meals together and take delivery of the food. So we're very grateful for them as well.
Absolutely.
How many staff does Nutrition Group have coming in?
They typically have 7 people plus their director. Okay. So there have been a couple people that either had some childcare issues, or I think one person found another job and so on. So they're actually a little bit abbreviated on their staff, but as many people that can come each time come in.
Okay. Thanks.
They've been wonderful partners in this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't there an issue with director? Did we get a new one?
Our director left. What was her last day, Michelle?
Bazinski, Carrie.
Yeah,
she left. The way our contract reads is we were actually supposed to be sharing a director with Summerfield. And because Nutrition Group wanted to train some people as directors, we were able to keep ours full time, and Summerfield had theirs full time. So then when Carrie left, now we're actually back to the way our contract really should be, where we're sharing the director between the two districts.
Okay.
We were also able, because of generous donations that we've gotten from the community, we also were able to mail home Kroger gift cards to several of our, families that are struggling the most, got Kroger gift cards to get them through the spring break week when we did not deliver meals. So we sent home gift cards. We also had New Life Church in Petersburg. They donated gift cards, Kroger gift cards, as well as did food deliveries for us too. So we're really very grateful to them for helping us get some food deliveries out as well. So I just want to make sure we tell them thank you. Thank you too. Any questions on meal delivery or pickup? Okay, Trevor, I kind of, I know, surprised you with this. Do you want me to handle this or you got it?
If you'd like to handle it, that's fine.
Okay, in all fairness, Trevor found out like an hour ago, so we're fair enough, Trev. All students were surveyed prior to the closure and as recent as this past weekend regarding their internet connectivity and devices in the household. We have put out numerous calls asking parents to let us know if there's any internet connectivity issues or device issues. We did deploy 163 Chromebooks when we first got notice that we were just closing for those first 3 weeks. Hotspots have been were ordered at that time for the families that let us know that they were absolutely had no connection. Mr. Mensing is working on getting those. Jason, did you get any out today? I know you had planned to deliver several of them today.
Yeah, everybody who was on our list was contacted today. Anybody who responded either, you know, by answering the phone or called me back later, had them delivered or no longer needed it. So I think we had 13 of the 18 taken care of at this point.
Awesome.
And the other ones just waiting for communication back on.
Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to get any more hotspots. They're like gold. So we're working on some other ways to help families that we're now finding out about may have some connectivity issues. We've really, really been on top of this. So we're talking just a handful of families that we're working with individually. One of the things that we are doing right now is setting up a temporary drive-in hotspot in the back parking lot. And so students and staff, we have a couple of staff members with connectivity issues as well. They can literally drive to the parking lot, the back parking lot between the two buildings, park their car. They never have to leave their vehicle and they can hook into the internet from the district. So Trevor put up a temporary solution right now. So you can actually do that right now. And we're working on a permanent solution because we just don't know how many people are going to actually need to use this. So we're getting a permanent solution set up as well. One of the things we talked about with UTEC was a possible solar option because we're using the two light poles. We're putting internet access points on the light poles out there. And we were trying to come up with a solar option. And I just thought this was fun to mention. I'll have to send a snip of the video to my brother. My brother actually owns a solar company in California, and I reached out to him to see if he could help get us a discounted rate on the what are those things called, Trevor? The solar
access point.
Okay, so the solar access points, and he had them shipped to us immediately. We should have them within the week at no cost. So his company donated those to us. So we're in good shape there. And then we're gonna do. We're also getting out Chromebooks to. We know we've had some families that might have either thought whatever device they were using at the time was going to be sufficient, or maybe they only picked up one Chromebook because they were, helping be responsible, but yet they have three kids, and what they've learned over this 3 weeks is they need three Chromebooks for three kids. It's really hard to share Chromebooks when you're in these kind of situations, and so they've reached out to us and asked if they could get more Chromebooks, and so we are definitely figuring out ways to get more Chromebooks deployed to families as well. So I really think we're in very, very good shape when it comes to technology access and devices. And honestly, it's thanks to the community for continuing to pass the technology millage. If we did not have that technology millage over the last decade, there's no way we would be in the shape that we're in right now. So I just think that's an important message to get out to the community that we're just really, really grateful. We immediately ordered another set of, how many Chromebooks did we order that day, Trevor, right before the closure?
90.
We put in, when we knew that the governor, when I knew that the governor was going to close this down, we immediately put in an order for 20 hotspots. and 90 Chromebooks. And so that was with technology millage funds. And if you're asking why we only put in an order for 20 hotspots, it's because those 20 hotspots cost $4,500. So we didn't want to do overkill, but at the same time, we had no idea how many of our families were going to need hotspots, but I think we're in pretty good shape. So a question about technology? Mm-mm. Okay, Mrs. Strict, moving forward, you got the budget?
Sure. On the budget piece, on the template that came out from the state, the question they actually ask is they want a budget outline estimating additional expenses associated with the plan and sources of revenue to pay for the expense, which I thought was kind of worded weirdly, like as if we had the opportunity to generate revenue to cover all these things. So basically, we have to find the revenue to cover them. So in my first paragraph there, you can see the list of things that we actually did have to purchase. And for the most part right now, we were able to, since we're not on site, some of the professional development that was budgeted for Title II is not going to be taking place. So we're able to do a transfer of Title II dollars to Title V to cover some of the technology purchases. So that's about $5,400. So that's really our only like revenue generating thing if you want to look at it that way. So the first thing we covered it with was 50 licenses of Zoom, which is about $4,500. And so that's what the instructors will be using for their daily contact with the students. The remaining $900 of that transfer I applied towards the hotspots that Val just talked about. So the balance of those hotspots then was $3,600. And then we had purchase of Chromebooks for $14,000. The insurance was put on all of the Chromebook devices. We were able to get some reimbursements from families for that insurance. Document cameras were purchased. And then of course we had some additional cleaning supplies. The elementary purchased some additional books and so on. So those things right there that have all taken place already amounted to $25,309. And then my second bullet point is talking about the one item that Val just mentioned, the installation of the Wi-Fi service in the parking lot. With not having all the costs in yet and the deliveries and so on, I just have an estimate of about $6,500 on that item. And then also with the cafeteria fund, there's some increased costs there due to the actual delivery cost, the driver wages, since we don't typically deliver meals. And then we found that there's been some slightly higher food costs due to the availability of some items. And then also trying to deliver more shelf stable items, which would be things that we typically wouldn't be purchasing. So just to give you a little bit of recap though on the cafeteria fund, our breakfast counts are up because for every lunch we are serving right now or delivering, we're delivering a breakfast, which typically that wouldn't happen. So our breakfast counts are up, our lunch counts are about comparable to a normal month, although we're not seeing any a la carte sales obviously because we don't have those extra snack items. We think that labor costs will be comparable to what they usually work. They're working a little bit less hours, but their staff are being paid a $2 per hour premium to ensure that they continue to report to work. As you know from budgeting, any shortages that we would have in the cafeteria fund would first be covered by the cafeteria fund balance, and then any additional would go to the general fund balance. So for right now though, budget-wise, because we did end the school year as far as expenses a little bit earlier, we probably will have some underspending on some of our budget line items, plus some of the items we know are not moving forward because of the closure. So all in all, I think we will be okay budget-wise, but we may experience at least of some shortfall will be those couple items that I mentioned there in that paragraph. There may be some additional purchases as the principals start getting into their plans in the next couple weeks, and then we can just add what those additional expenses are to this section so that we're keeping track of everything additional that we've had to purchase.
Christy, I know you specifically had some budget questions. I think now would be an appropriate time to ask those.
I was wondering, Val, if you had any insights or concerns for the budget overall.
Because of what's happening with the state getting shut down and things like that. So I don't for the current school year. I think we're in good shape, as Michelle just stated. Like I said, the technology millage has helped us significantly. We're rerouting some things and doing some things like that. I have a lot of concerns about next year and what's going to happen with the per pupil foundation allowance. We're hearing not good things come out of any conversations from state legislatures as far as, you know, the school aid fund is based on sales tax and if people aren't out there spending money, there's going to be a lot of shortfalls in the state budget itself, and they're going to have to make that up. And I'm concerned that they're going to make it up with the school aid fund. I don't know. I'm obviously advocating and hoping that they hold school districts harmless, but they're going to have a really tough job ahead of them in terms of balancing a budget at the state level. So while I think we're okay with 1920, I think we're going to have some you know, tough things to look at for the 2021 budget. But at this point, it's really too early to get into anything like that. But yeah.
But something to keep in mind.
Yep.
And my other question was about our balances and our fund security. You said that you see our budget for this year is being okay, but more along the lines of do we invest things because the stock market has taken a hit? Is our general fund fairly stable? Do we need to worry about the cash flow that we as a district have, not necessarily looking forward, but just what we have?
So let me talk about cash flow real quick, and then I'm going to let Michelle answer your question about investments and where the district's investments are and where we put our money. In terms of cash flow, we're okay right now because we're still getting our full state aid allowance, and that's still coming in. If for some reason there is a proration on this year's state aid, which is always a possibility. I don't ever want us to lose sight of that. There always is that possibility that they could come back and prorate money out of this year's state. In fact, I heard it come up in a conversation today in a meeting with some legislators. The timing of when they do that could pose some cash flow issues for us. We obviously spoke to that today in the meeting that I was in and talked about that, that it would devastate districts across the state of Michigan if that were the case. But again, that's, you know, lots of speculation, and I don't actually know what's going to happen. All I can do is, you know, tell the legislators what the ramifications of those decisions are, should they do that. But as far as our investments, we've got pretty strict rules on that. So, Michelle, I'll let you answer that question about where our money's invested.
Real quick, sure. Michelle, before you do. So, I had no idea they can actually pull money that they've promised us.
Mm-hmm. They've done that before in the past, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Sorry, Michelle.
That's all right. That report that's in the board packet every month, I think it's called board packet, that's actually a simplistic cash flow report on the district's funds. And you can see the banks that those are invested in. All of our funds are either right now in just checking accounts or money market accounts with major banks. So there is nothing tied up in stocks, bonds, CDs, anything of that nature. And the district, the board has a policy on what we invest in. And there's also laws that dictate what we're allowed to invest in. So we're pretty secure.
And so money markets are kind of, you get
basically just a checking account with a little bit more interest on it. Although okay. Right now, I can't imagine there being much interest on anything. So
okay,
just a little bit better than a checking account.
Okay. Nothing like volatile.
No, okay. Nothing at all. Hmm.
Good. Good. Thank you very much.
Welcome. Any other budget questions? Is this Mr. Mensing or Mr. Groach? I don't know how you guys are tag teaming this one. Oh, do I have Mr. Groach muted? Let me unmute him. Well, I think you can unmute yourself, Ken. There we go. You're unmuted. You're good.
Okay, I think Trevor's covering this section. Yeah. Good Hello, one. Everyone.
All right, I'm done.
I've been in contact with our mental health support group, and they've been awesome. They understand their supportive roles for our families, and their big concerns are how they can help our teachers. Based on the actual individual member, they have been doing a variety of different activities already. A lot of them are creating live or pre-recorded messages to work with their students. And I got to keep in mind that they have a collective group that they normally work with, so they know their students. I know they're doing weekly phone calls already. They're setting up their Zoom meetings as well. They've all shared their emails. I know that they have handed out packets and journals to help kids work through certain problems. And in the event, which I know this could happen quite often, is mental health emergencies. I think our parents are awesome about getting to, I know in our building, to Mrs. Tuller immediately, Mr. Mensing. And at that point, then we could get to our specialist during an emergency. But the big idea they had, and I can appreciate that, is they know the teachers have a great amount of work to do right now. So what they don't want to do is add more to the teacher's workload. They want the teachers to kind of request or inform them when they might need that support. And they're all willing right now. They're going above and beyond. And again, they're already in contact with parents and students to make sure that everybody is doing okay.
In addition to that, our counseling group is meeting on a regular basis. Well checks are being done, as mentioned by Ms. Tuller earlier, by deputy, but all in person. But in addition to that, our counseling staff and social workers are in contact with students. Contact information in our first class meetings will be given out to all the students with who to contact or different people that they can contact that are available. And then we are planning some different activities that are hopefully activities that give students hope, like virtual college tours and things like that as well, that are hopefully things for kids to look forward to.
Also, want to follow up, we do have a Zoom meeting tomorrow morning with the with Kelly. I know she made you aware of that, but we are meeting with the social workers as well to discuss plans that they have in place. So we do have that meeting going on tomorrow morning. That's it, Val. All I have.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So that that is the continuity of learning plan brief, believe it or not. That's the brief overview. This would be an opportunity for me to make sure that I've got any board feedback that needs to be included in the plan, any modifications that need to be made, any comments you want to make.
You know, can I just say, I'm not only impressed with the amount of work, that doesn't even touch it. That doesn't even touch it. But I am so grateful and so blown away by coming at this unprecedented problem, the circumstances that we're in, from every direction. Like, and I know that there's new things that come up as we move through it, but it's like no stone is left unturned here. And I cannot tell you, it brings me to tears. It really does. From financial aspects, technology aspects, educational, social, emotional, family support. It's a remarkable work that's being done here. And, you know, even board support from prior years, from a decade ago, from 15 years ago, board support who have made, members of the community who have made wise decisions that have gotten us through, weathered us through other storms. And that gives me confidence that we weathered this storm. And we do, we have wise members on our board. We have an amazing staff and incredible leadership. And I'm truly blown away by just where we're at and how completely from every side we're handling this situation. And I just thank you all. I'm just really grateful.
Thanks for making us cry, Trace.
Well, it's true. So there you go. Okay.
Any other comments from the board before I move on with my report?
No, nope, you're doing amazing.
We've got a pretty talented team of people, and I'm grateful every day for working with them. And I cry every day, Trace, so don't feel bad. I sent out a message to just the community of parents and families that we have and the Whiteford community as a whole. Just step up in ways that are amazing. And the amount of like emails and cards, and I know that I've personally received just parents who have randomly sent me an email saying, thank you, please pass on my thanks to the administrators and teachers that work in our district. You guys have been amazing. And thank you. Like the fact that parents that are dealing with so much right now are taking the time to share their gratitude with us. I mean, it's gone miles for us, and we couldn't be more grateful for serving this community. So thank you for your kind words. Certainly appreciated. I know they mean a lot to the team. and amazing, amazing teachers, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. Are you guys good with the plan then?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. All right. I should not have stopped sharing my screen because I did hot off the presses get the EA calendar that was approved. So let me pop that up here real quick if I could find. Here we go. So I just got this, but they just voted on it. And this is the calendar that was approved. And let me roll back here. If you look, it's in the superintendent folder in your board packet. So I'm not going to go through this right now, and I'm not going to ask for board approval on it right now, but I wanted you to have it. The EA has been awesome through this whole thing. They contacted me about this calendar. I'm well aware of it. I was able to give input into the options that they put out to the staff for vote. Mr. Ross puts this together and likes to use lots of colors, and it's very hard for me to disseminate. So if you, like me, need more time to kind of look at it, you have it. But I wanted you to know that that was literally at like 5:30 p.m. I uploaded it into the board packet, so you have it. Okay?
Thank you.
Yep. And then, let's see. You have the list of acknowledgments of gifts and donations that have come in. There's more that are not included. We've had lots of anonymous donations, people who have not wanted their names used. These are the people that have not said any differently about it. So you have that. We are getting lots of questions are starting to come up now about kindergarten roundup. Obviously, we know how important that is to the school district, and we are trying to figure out what we're going to do. We just needed to get through the COL plan first. Once we get that submitted tomorrow, I think one of our next things to hit here as a team, as a leadership team, is to figure out what we're going to do about kindergarten roundup. We need it to happen. We just got to figure out how it can happen with abiding by all the governor's orders and whatnot.
Okay.
And I talked to you about the budget review from the ISD. Superintendent's evaluation. I got really excited about the possibility of not having to have you guys evaluate me this year. I called Tracy and said, I don't know what I was thinking, but I'm pretty sure it's not my job to decide whether or not I'm evaluated, that it's actually the board's job to decide that. So
you're breaking up really.
What's that? I didn't hear it. Somebody, that was probably Shane that said something.
No, it looked like Mike, but he's muted.
Mike said something and then muted himself.
He can't, he's having problems seeing us. Like right now, Tracy's name is over you. Mine, everything's shifted to one way, and I can only see half the people. Mike can't. Yeah, Mike
my screen's totally frozen.
Yeah, Mike said he couldn't hear you, that it was you were really breaking up.
All right, I unmuted you, Mike. Can you hear yet?
Yeah, I can hear you now. You were breaking up really bad.
Oh, sorry.
It was dragging really bad, so I can hear you now.
Okay, good. So I was just apologizing for getting ahead of myself and saying that I didn't need to be evaluated this year because the state said so, and that's actually your decision.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like you guys to have a brief conversation right now about whether or not you want to continue to do that. I have had some other thoughts. I'm going to continue. We're not going to evaluate all the teachers this year because the teacher evaluation legislation has been suspended. So we are not required to do that. Right now, merit pay is tied to the effectiveness rating for staff members. I have, before I made the decision to not evaluate teachers this year, I reached out to the union leadership because I wanted to get their feedback and input before I made that decision. Because if they're not evaluated, then they do not receive their merit pay. If you guys remember, last year was the first year that we gave merit pay in compliance with the law. Last year, the amount that was given was $100. The feedback was pretty overwhelming from the EA that the teachers are not interested, they're not brokenhearted about not receiving their merit pay this year and are more than happy to forego the evaluation process. So I'm going to honor that and have made the decision to not go ahead and evaluate the teachers. However, we are going to still evaluate probationary teachers, and that is for their benefit. We do not want them to lose a year of their probationary status. We want this year to be able to count for them to earn towards tenure. And then we're also going to evaluate any teachers last year that received less than an effective rating. That's been communicated to the EA too, and they understand the necessity to be able to do that as well. So I wanted you to have that information. The administrators, where I'm going to continue, they are going to get evaluated this year. The reason why I decided to do that is they're working, like, as you can see, they're doing so much, but their merit pay is also tied to their evaluation rating and their effectiveness rating. And they have individual contracts. And so if I were to not evaluate them, they would not be eligible for their merit pay. And their merit pay is more than $100 and significant enough that I want to make sure that I don't take that from them. And so I'm asking the board to consider that same thing for me. If you don't mind, if you guys would consider continuing my evaluation process, so that I have an option and an opportunity to receive the merit pay as well that's listed in my contract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just looking for what, if anybody has a comment or anybody has a thought on it. I certainly, at first thought I was like, just like Val, I was kind of like, well, heck yeah, it's one last thing that has to be done right now. But in deeper, when you look at the situation a little deeper, I think it's pretty important that we continue that. So I'm just looking for, for some comment on that. From anyone.
I want to make sure that.
I was talking and I was muted.
Hey, this is Mike. I support that, Tracy. I think in a time like this, go ahead, Christy.
No, finish, Mike.
Go ahead, Christy.
Okay, so I was just going to agree with you, Tracy, that I think that it's really important that we honor that all of the extra work here. If there's any way that we can support you guys, I am all for that. Is there any way for us to propose that even if we skip some of the teacher evaluations, that they still get that $100? Is there any way to work around that? And
you guys can certainly, it just would not be merit pay. We wouldn't call it merit pay, but if the board should feel, that you want to give the teachers, extra compensation in some form, that's always the purview of the board and something that you guys have. And I can help work through that with you, certainly. Think of it, Christy, like we, when we did the $1,000 off-schedule bonuses those couple of years, it would be something similar to that. You would give an off-schedule payment.
Okay. And then would I just kind of work with Tracy a little bit on that outside of this meeting, or would that be something we would discuss here?
So you certainly could talk to Tracy about it, yes, as a potential agenda item in the future. She obviously would get me and Michelle involved in terms of being able to get fiscal numbers out to you guys and things like that. And then as far as a discussion as to whether or not you wanted to do that, that would need to take place at an open board meeting. And so we'd put that on an upcoming board agenda, and then you guys would be able to have some conversation about that for sure. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then just to be clear, I really do support going through with your evaluation and making sure that you get recognized for the work that you are doing and going above and beyond here for the school and for the families and for us. So
thank you.
Does anybody else have any other comment or thought on it?
No, I support that as well. And I just wanted, Mike, you have a lovely ceiling, but could you put your camera down a little so we can see your face?
Who are you talking to, Christine? Me?
Yeah, you.
There. I think he looks good from there.
There we go.
There he is.
He looks better the other way.
Well, that's because he's eating. That's why he's hiding his face. He's eating.
I'm chewing on a stick. It's a stick from my China, actually. I'm just sitting here chewing it. It's a chopstick. Okay?
So, Tracy, I do have one comment.
Sure.
I think I'm okay with continuing with your evaluations. I just think we need to, like Christy said, think strongly about that $100 for the teachers. I don't want them to feel like they've put in 3/4 of a work year, and just because we're not going to do their evaluations, that they don't have the option to earn that additional, even though it's $100, I mean, it's still, that's, $100 more than they had. So I think that in all fairness that we need to, in my opinion, we need to at least consider that in a show of good faith to them, that we're not just doing the administrators and that we're still, taking everything that they've done into consideration.
Okay, absolutely. It's definitely something that we can, ask Val and Michelle to take a look at and absolutely. I agree.
Happy to do that. And I can get started on something for you right away, Tracy, and start getting information to you that you can get out to the board.
Cool. Good deal.
Thanks, everybody. And then Senior Sunday and commencements, those are, like Kelly said, we're happy that we hopefully have a rescheduled prom date. Mm-hmm. We're still trying to figure out what it is the kids actually want. Do they want us to reschedule Decision Day? Do they want us to reschedule Senior Sunday? All of those conversations are going to take place during the class meetings. We'll get information out to the board as we figure those things out. I've already, myself and Kelly, have already absolutely committed to our senior class that we will celebrate and honor their accomplishments. We're going to have a commencement here at some point, just don't know when, but there will be a commencement ceremony for our kids.
Sounds good.
That's all I have for my report. Jason, before we move on to the new business, though, I know you wanted to mention a couple things about athletics.
Yeah, just real briefly, because I know these things come up a lot, and our board members are some of our best advocates. The scrap metal fundraiser, our plan is to move forward with that once times change here a little bit. So even if that gets pushed deeper in the summer, and you guys all know people that are that metal that they've been holding on to, there's no reason we can't still offer that to the community. Even if we don't generate as much revenue, we still feel like it's a service that we'll provide. So we will do that at some point. I've talked to our track coach about just holding off putting out any date until we know more what's going on in the world. The second thing is the booster golf outing. likely will be affected by this. That is the largest fundraiser that the boosters do. That Founders Day covers pretty much all of the money that we're raising annually. We are looking at potential dates for it and other activities. We're, again, kind of in a sit-and-wait phase until we know more what's going on as far as our world. So just an FYI on those two things.
Thank you. Okay, Val, does that totally cover all your super?
I just wanted, sorry I didn't do this earlier, but I just want to make, Charlie, you didn't have anything, did you?
No. I did okay. I wanted to thank, sorry, I missed the beginning, but I wanted to thank Christine for the awesome letter that she sent me. It really means a lot, so.
You're welcome, Charlie.
Those were so sweet, Christine.
Yeah.
They really were.
That's awesome.
That's it, I believe. Thank you.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, everybody. We'll move on to, we don't have any old business. We'll move on to new business now. I assume everybody had a chance to look through everything. I would like to be able to go through the resolutions without, just as presented, I'll go through each one. So our first order of new business is to adopt or approve the resolution for the temporary suspension of board bylaws and board policies that have been affected by executive order from the governor's office. So I am looking for a motion to approve the resolution to temporarily suspend existing board policies and bylaws that are contrary to executive order, and that's as presented in our board packet. So I'm looking for that motion.
I'll make the motion.
Motion by Dave.
Shane, second.
Shane, second by Shane. And I'll do a roll call vote then. Dave?
Yes.
Christine?
Yes.
Christy?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Shane?
Yes.
Janelle?
Yes.
And I am a yes. So the motion passes 7 yes. The next thing we have is to adopt a new board policy 845302 and to adopt that new board policy as presented. Can I have a motion on that?
Christina.
Pardon me?
Christy will second.
Okay. Motion by Christine
Bischoff made the motion, and Christy Mock is the second.
Okay. Correct. Yes. Okay, so a vote on that. Dave?
Yes.
Christine?
Yes.
Christy?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Shane?
Yes.
Janelle?
Yes.
And I am a yes too, so that is 7 yes on that. Our next thing, do we need to discuss this at all, Val, the contract for the architect engineer services?
Just because Brian has been so patient and sitting on this meeting, Brian, is there anything you want to say about the architect and engineering services?
Well, first and foremost, it's been informative for me too. I have a first grader at home, and I think we were trying to force feed him too much. So I learned some things here. We can back off.
Good.
Most importantly, thank you. No, speaking for the bond team, I can go over a brief overview of our selection process. It's Plantmer and Cressa's typical scenario, but just walking through the timeline real quick, and then feel free to ask questions if you need me to dive deeper on any of this. But started in early March, we sent an RFP to six different firms that we thought would be suited for this job, both locally and then other firms that Cressa has worked with in the past that have done projects of this nature. So of those six we invited, we then had a pre-proposal meeting on March 17. We had to adapt and do that one via conference call as well, given the time. So of those six, we had four proposals received. Four good firms responded. But of that, we know we didn't want to interview. So we went through a criteria-based selection process, looking for relevant sector or similar project experience, qualifications of their staff, if they had local resources, and then also the fee of the proposal. So we spoke as a team, scored all that, got down to three firms that we interviewed last week. I'm sorry, on the 2nd, so a week and a half ago, April 2nd, we sat through three different interviews. And based on that, met as a team after. I think it was a consensus that the collaborative was the shining star of the group. And just as a brief summary for their fees, it was $724,000, $724,731, which was a total of 6.1% of the cost of the work, which is a pretty good fee in our industry right now. We did have 7% budgeted in the bond program, so it is noted there's about a $66,000 savings there that we got at a little over 6% versus 7% that was budgeted. So I kind of flew through that, but in the board packet, there is more info. We have a recommendation letter. There's a summary of breakout for all four firms that proposed. We broke out fees, how many hours they included in their proposal, and then also hourly rates that each one proposed. And on top of that, the proposal that was provided by the collaborative is included just for your reference. It was probably 70, 80 pages of the whole packet. That's not included, just their bid form. And then lastly was a post-bid interview checklist. So a lot of the questions and topics we talked about in that interview with the bond team is included there for your reference too.
Brian, why don't you speak to Jim Jacobs and what happened with that? I know the board has, we've all have a, feel a certain way about them. I'm sure they would like to know why Jim Jacobs was not selected.
Okay. And I'll also touch on just for Kohler is another firm out of Monroe. We reached out to them. They did not have interest in participating. So we tried our best to try and make sure that the local firms got a shot at it. As far as Jacobs Architecture, if everybody's aware, they were hired as the civil engineering firm for the septic field. So they're doing a heck of a job for us right off the bat on that. They're pretty in tune and rocking on the septic portion. As far as the architectural, they were invited, sat through the pre-bid meeting. The way we structured the program, series 1 and 2 both coincide. They essentially touch each other from a construction standpoint between the arts program, and then in series 2 is the multi-purpose gym area. We want to put that out as a single bid package to the general contractors. And for that to happen, we need a set of drawings this fall to put out to bid as one set of drawings. And I spoke with Jim quite a few times throughout the process. His concern was that his current workload, his staff's not big enough, and they don't have the available hours needed to get those drawings out in time. So he reluctantly had to back out, which everybody was sad to see that based on how he's performing on the septic system. But that was the main reason. We were in communication throughout, and that was the reason he couldn't submit a proposal.
Is the collective one of the groups that you guys have worked with in the past, or is that more of a local one that just put in a bid?
A little bit of both. They are local. They have an office in Toledo and in Ann Arbor. I personally have not worked with them. They've proposed on a few of the CRESA jobs, and I think, Dave, I don't want to speak for you, but I think Dave's also worked with them in the past, potentially.
They're a good firm. Good firm.
Okay. Good deal. Does anybody else have any other questions?
We really liked them. I'll just speak for the actual administrative team. When we did the interview, we all felt really, in fact, we started texting each other right away. We all felt really good about it. I was glad to hear that Dave had previous experience with them because it solidified what we were feeling in the interview. I'm excited to work with them. I think that the things that they showed us were exciting, and it was a good process, and I'm excited to work with them.
Agreed.
Yeah.
We do have we let them know on Friday to keep it confidential, but we have a meeting lined up already tomorrow as a kickoff to make sure we start things right away with them.
Excellent. Anybody else?
No, I just want to say that I do appreciate the spreadsheet that kind of gave the breakdown. Not that I know what any of it totally means, but it's nice to know that there's a breakdown and it's not just a lump sum of.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of money.
Yeah, it is a lot of money.
Yeah, there's quite a process we go through to make sure that there's nothing hidden in there and everybody's given a fair and honest explanation of the services you're going to provide. So it's more than just a dollar sign.
Let me say this too, and Charlie, chime in, but going through that process with Cressa Plameran, Charlie and I both made a statement to each other immediately after, oh my goodness, are we glad we hired them. We honestly,
absolutely.
It yes. has been a state, Brian, you guys have been godsend, and there's just no way. Charlie and I were like, we would have had no idea what to do.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was during the meeting, Val, that I said, can you imagine doing this without Plameran?
Right. So I was like, oh. So to what you're saying, Christine, it's like, this yeah. is just not things that we're used to dealing with. So to have these guys there as a true owner's rep to, add that level of security to the decisions that we're asking the board to make, it's been pretty powerful. And I'm certainly glad they're part of our team. So it's been a good match so far. So Brian, don't screw anything up for the rest of the bond project.
I do, just don't talk about it in front of everybody.
Okay.
No, thank you. That means a lot. I appreciate it. We'll continue to keep pushing this thing forward.
Yeah, well, thank you. And thanks to the bond committee, on top of everything else, for the bond committee to be meeting and staying on top. And it's like, just thank you for that. All right, so if we don't have any other comments, then I am looking for a motion to award the Architect Engineer Services for the 2019 bond program to the Collaborative for a cost of $724,731 to be paid from bond funds.
I'll motion, Dave.
Motion by Dave.
I'll second Christy.
Second by Christy. And then our roll call vote. Dave?
Yes.
Christine?
Yes.
Christy?
Yes.
Mike? Mike? Okay. Thumbs up for Mike. Shane?
Yes.
And Janelle?
Yes.
And I'm a yes. That is 7 yes to award the contract to the Collaborative. And then the next thing we have is to adopt the resolution to ratify the sale of school bonds. Do we need to speak to this at all, Val, or can I just move right on ahead on it?
I think the only thing that's important to note is that it was a awesome bond sale. We're able to save the community, the taxpayers, a significant amount of money this first series. Charlie had asked a good question about possibly communicating that to the community. While I'd certainly love to do that, we've got 2 more series to get through, and who knows what that's going to end up being, because you're talking 2 and 4 years from now. So I was kind of thinking that it's going to be best to kind of see how the whole thing comes out. And then we'll certainly report out to the community overall in terms of millage rates and things like that. But we'll,
continue to
go as we, communicate things as they transpire.
Sure. Okay, that sounds good. Did anybody have any questions? If not, I'm looking for a motion to adopt the resolution to ratify the sale of the reference bonds and accept the bid received by Robert W. Baird and Company to purchase the bonds.
Motion, Shane.
Motion by Shane.
Second, Dave.
Second by Dave. Not all in favor. Sorry, old habits. Dave?
Yes.
Christine?
Yes.
Christine?
Yes.
Christy?
Yes.
Mike? Did I lose Mike altogether?
All right, let's just, because of how important this is, let's give him a minute to get back on.
There he is.
You guys, you see?
Yeah, yeah, Mike, vote on the bond right now, the bond sale.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. It just froze up, so go okay. ahead.
Are you voting positively or negatively on the bond?
Positively.
Okay. Yes,
positively.
Shane?
Yes.
Janelle?
Yes.
And I'm a yes too. That is 7 yes.
Mike's trying to give me a heart attack today, Tracy.
Not at all. I'm sitting here and all of a sudden my whole screen went blank. I'm like, okay, I just texted Charlie. I just got booted off. I'm trying to get right back on. So, all right.
You're on.
Okay, so the next thing we have is to adopt the resolution to approve the use of Michigan class and our authorizing officer. Do we have a little explanation on this?
Yeah, because I got some questions over the weekend on this. So, Michelle Strick, can you just explain Michigan class real quick to them? Are you still on? Where's Michelle?
Yeah, I can hear you guys, but my screen is frozen up.
Okay.
When we get the bond proceeds, the $4.7 million less the expenses and the good faith deposit, we will need to invest that. And then also there'll be a schedule for it to liquidate as we need it to pay things down. So instead of just sticking it in a regular checking account, we would want to put it in the Michigan class, which has a little bit higher interest rate to earn a little bit of money to offset some of our costs and so on. So in the board packet there, you can see that they're a local government investment pool in the state of Michigan. They are rated AAA, and they do invest quite a bit of Michigan public sector monies. So it's just a holding spot for us to put our money that isn't just in a checking account.
Excellent.
Is there much risk with that?
They're rated AAA, so no, they're in good standing.
And it's more of like the mutual funds that we talked about before and less like the stock market?
Yes.
That reminds me, Tracy, not to prolong anything. I know we're trying to get through this. I apologize. But I just wanted to mention this because I think it's really important. One of the reasons why the bond sale went so quickly besides Michelle doing such a nice – or went so well besides Michelle Strick doing such a nice job on the S&P rating call – was because of the district's financial status over the last decade. I just want to make this clear that, you know, and it goes back to what you said earlier, the decades of even previous Board of Education members making really tough decisions and weathering storms, that the decisions that you guys make as a Board of Education not only are affecting what happens with students and families right at this very minute, but actually have a significant impact for years to come. And so I think this is a perfect example of we're saving $1.5 million because of the rating that the school district got because of the financial decisions that were made during that time. And I just wanted to make that connection for all of us.
Absolutely. Thanks, Val. Yeah. So we are, if there's no other questions or comments, then I'm looking for a motion to authorize the use of Michigan class for bond funds and to appoint Michelle Strick as the authorizing officer.
I'll motion, Dave.
Motion by Dave.
Christine, seconded
by Christine. Okay, vote. Dave?
Yes.
Christine?
Yes.
Christy?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Shane?
Yes.
Janelle?
Yes.
I'm a yes. The motion passes 7 yes. Thank you, everyone.
Yay.
And then the last thing we have to take action on is the proclamation of April is Child Abuse Prevention Month, and we have a resolution. So I am looking for a motion to adopt the resolution presented by the Child Advocacy Network to proclaim the month of April as Child Abuse Prevention Month.
I'll make the motion, Mike.
Motion by Mike.
I'll second. Janelle.
Second by Janelle. The vote, Dave?
Yes.
Christine?
Yes.
Christy?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Shane?
Yes.
Janelle?
Yes.
I am a yes, so that is 7 yes. Thank you for that, everyone. Do we have anything else? Do we have any other additions? Board concerns or reports? If not, I think we're done. Do you have anything, Val?
I don't. I'm so impressed. 7:43 and virtually, and job well done, guys. Good job.
Thank you so much, everyone, just for the support, for where we're all going together. We're all in it together. Thank you so much.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
To the team, we have a meeting after this. Just log on to the our 9 a.m. meeting that we usually do. You just use that same meeting ID.
Hey, Val, what time do you want me to meet you tomorrow to sign? You said you have something I need to sign.
Oh, yeah. I gotta get my act together on that, and then can I text you guys in the morning and figure out what my life is going to be like tomorrow, and then I'll find you?
Sounds good.
Yep.
Val, stop recording.
Oh, thank you. That's why I have a team.